Americana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
We sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah, the Lamb is Lord.
for him, then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it could form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send the praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few, and to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together.
Good evening, and welcome to Stop Right. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wow, those words so powerful. Don't really want to cut it, but you know, the song, we'll be listening to it for the whole thing on repeat. Sometimes the song says everything that we need to hold on to. Let us pray. Father my God, we thank you. We praise you, we worship you, we adore you. We thank you because your goodness and mercy endureth forever. We thank you for you are a good God. We thank you, Father my God, that you woke us up this morning. We thank you for the air in our lungs. We thank you, Father my God, that you have given us breath. We thank you, Father my God, for the journeys that we've taken, Father my God. And in some parts of the world it's getting darker quicker. Father my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you for traveling mercies up and down wherever we go. We thank you, Father and my God, for keeping and sustaining us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your joy. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that, Lord, the words that we have, as the song said, are not enough to describe you, to even show appreciation to you. Father, my God, as we're looking at faith required for this season, help our faith to grow. Help us not to cancel out what you are doing, Father, my God. Lord Jesus, we look to you in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we were looking at faith required in this season, and we're looking at Isaiah. We went through Isaiah and in detail, comparing the scriptures, different versions, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, it is written, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him." You know, and many of you have been on the journey with myself where I said I really believe in this season, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. But we need to know that when no one can perceive it, conceive it, that means it's really God. It's beyond our imagination. No, it's really beyond our imagination. And I want us to know that what God is doing in our lives, through our lives, is beyond our imagination. take a chance on that godly idea that has been placed upon your heart. Run with it. It may not make sense. Maybe nobody else can visualize it. But with God, he brings a picture to it. Now, I'm going to look at another translation. Hope I don't knock the microphone too much. Let's have a look. This is Living Translation. I'm going to go beforehand. And it goes, I'll read verse from chapter 2 from the beginning, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message, for I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. Yet, when I am among mature Christians, I do not speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to the word. Yet when I'm among mature Christians, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, and not the kind that appeals to the rulers of this world, who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak is of, is the secret wisdom of God. Which was hidden in former times, though he made it our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have never crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, and his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. Amen. Right, I'm going to do another translation. I'm going to, okay, I'm going to start from verse 6, the Passion Translation. However, there's a wisdom that we continue to speak of when we are among spiritually mature. So remember, it talked about this. In a word, it talked about two types of wisdom. You know, it talked about the beginning, the lofty words, you know, and it talks about concentrating on Christ. But it then goes on to that about being spiritually mature. Like when you've grown a bit, when you've been in the word. Now, that maturity doesn't come with the your age. Sometimes it comes through experience. People grow through experiential knowledge. Some people grow by what they've read. Some people grow by what they've heard. But there has to be some growth and development. There has to be some foundational principles in place, you know, because sometimes people think, oh, spiritually mature, there has to be some foundational things in place. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age. So it's not about things that we're going to gather from this present, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Now that's heavy. But what I wanted to know is not the wisdom of the world. What this is talking about, and it's leading up to this, we cannot, when God has said something, we cannot use our intellect to decipher how it's going to work out. And many times that's what we try and do, because that is the way we have been taught to process. So God says, you know, thank you, Holy Spirit. God said to the Abraham and Sarah, this time next year. You know, there was a laughter because you think, this time next year, how is that going to happen? Not only is she old, she was, you know, thinking, but you just thought, I've been waiting. And you're now telling me this time next year. Now, when we look at that, it did happen, but no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. We can't conceive. You know, God whispers to you this time next year, that which in your depth of your being that you're believing but you've given up on is going to happen. It just is beyond your, sometimes it's beyond our process and imagination, and we just think, no, because this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. You know, if God said to you, this time next year, you're going to be married, and you look, and there's nobody around. You know, sometimes this time next year, someone's, and you, there's somebody hanging around. You think, okay, yeah. But nobody, not even in the distance, you're there thinking, how is that going to be? Because you are looking at the world standard to say, well, this has to happen. I've got to meet the person. I've got to get to know the person. I've got to do it. And we start bringing it to what the wisdom of the world, you know. And when God is doing a work, when God has sent something and doing a work, we cannot bring it down to the wisdom of the work to calculate how it's going to occur. And this is what this is endeavoring to show us. It says it's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age. So we can't use the examples of this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Now, even if you look at ideas get thrown out the window, the processes of things get thrown out the windows. So the way you know, at one stage there was a thought that women stayed at home, men went to work. That got thrown out the window. Then especially when the in one of the wars where a lot of the men went to war and the women were taking up the position, and certain things got thrown out that defined this is what a woman does, this is what a man, got thrown, all these things. And so we cannot, and I know it might be a case of, oh, but that was then. No, but there were those thinking and belief system that got thrown out. Now, if we base what God is saying and how he's spoken to your life, and we calculate based on the present situation, he said it's being dethroned, it's being removed. We cannot do that, you know. Instead, we continue to speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. Wow, we need to look to God on how it's going to work it out. It says in the Living Translation, no, the wisdom we speak of is the secret wisdom of God, which is hidden in former times, though he made it for our benefit before the world began. So the former times it's even talking of is before the world began. He has said, remember it says in Jeremiah, I knew you. And before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. So it's a past tense saying that your life, your path, your journey has been, is there. Choice is there. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. But he's like not believing. There is like, you know, their choices. For example, there was the name escaped me now. I had it on the tip of my tongue and it escapes me now. There was a king that the prophet went to tell, look, you're going to die this night. And the king went to go and pray and was sorrowful and petitioned, you know, prayed and begged for mercy, and God gave him more years. So there was that opportunity and a change round. So it's just to bear that in mind as well. So as it says, it is his secret plan designed before the ages to bring us into his glory. Wow. Instead, we continue to speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan designed before ages to bring us into glory. So that the process, you know, if you've ever prayed, Lord, let your glory be revealed, the process is, you know, I was reflecting on this and I was saying, you know, we often pray, Lord, let your glory be revealed. Glory is not revealed in everything running smoothly. You know, we know God has intervened and glory's been revealed when it's like things have excuse me, gone a bit helter-skelter, and we have a reason to praise the God. We go, wow, amazing. So excuse me. And then we have all those, you know, other people can bear witness to the testimony when you testify and are encouraged that God, when it looked dire, when it looked like now it was going to happen, when it looked like the back was against the wall, that's when there's a change, there's like it turns the corner. And I want us to take encouragement from that. But you have to be willing to go through the process. You have to be willing to go to a place that sometimes we don't want to face that giant. We don't want to face that enemy. Sometimes we're not. It's very hard to face the enemy. And we can look at the Israelites, you know, Saul and all the army that were there, and David had a boldness that, look, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, and sometimes we can judge the people that were there afraid and thinking, I don't know if I want to fight this Goliath. But that situation is a Goliath. That's a Goliath in your life. It is hard to face it, but we need to seek the Lord for a word that will encourage us to press forward. Because I love it when it says, it is his secret plan designed before ages to bring us into glory. So the process, don't stop. The process is to bring us into glory. It says, none of the rulers of this present world order understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. Wow. That is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. I'm going to take that again. This is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. So there are things beyond our ability. Things that you just looking, I don't know if I can get this, I don't know if I can do this. In of myself, I can't, it's beyond your ability. Things are beyond you. Okay. There are things that your imagination hasn't taken you to that place. Now, sometimes you might imagine some things and you're there thinking, you don't want to dare to think about it coming to pass because you can't see beyond that point. But God has, even beyond that which you imagine, God has for you. Even what you imagine, God has more than that for you. It's to overflowing. It's like, even what you're thinking is minimum compared to what God has in store. And I want us to think about that. We're going to have a break, okay, while you're thinking and dwelling and pondering on that. And after the break, we're going to continue. See you after the break.
It was my cross bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome back. Welcome, worthy is his name. Hallelujah. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians 2, from 1 to 9, and then we looked at 6 to 9. And the Passion Translation says, verse 9, this is why the scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. I want that to really resonate in our hearts and minds. Now, I want us to look at Genesis 12, and I'm going to have to choose a different translation because Passion does not go to Genesis. Talk amongst yourselves. Right, okay. Genesis 12. It says, the faith Abraham needed, you know, we're looking at in the season. So in Genesis 12, verse 1, you know, we see where, and if you don't know, I don't want to assume anything. If you don't know the story, you know, one of my favorite people, I refer to Abraham and Sarah a lot because, boy oh boy, they describe us, you know, to a T, you know, having doubts, concerns, and the Israelites. Anyway, it says that the call of Abraham. Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. You know, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and I'll make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. You know, when God called Abraham moved out in faith. You know, Abraham is known as the father of faith. Moved out in faith from Ur to Haran and finally to Canaan. God then established a covenant with Abram, telling him that he would be, he would found a great nation. Not only would this nation be blessed, God said, but other nations of the earth would be blessed through Abram's descendants. Right. So, and if you actually look through it all, if you follow the lineage of Abram, it actually goes to Jesus. So, you know, when we actually look that, well, when it says that people will be blessed through the Abraham's descendants, Jesus was in that lineage. So, and we're blessed, you know, as you believe, you're blessed by serving the Lord, by believing in God, by knowing that God is in control of it all. And that was a different type of faith. That was a faith that was required, you know, because you hear a voice. It doesn't mention before about Abraham hearing God before. It doesn't mention it there. It doesn't mean it didn't happen or it didn't have an inkling or was not taught, but it doesn't mention. It said the Lord that had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So everything that you know, I want you to leave that and go where you don't know. Now, many people, when you're asked to go somewhere you don't know, you feel a bit nervous, a bit, you might feel about, don't know if this is, some, it might even think, right, I want to bind it because that could not be God, because it is so out of my comfort zone, not connected at all. And he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of earth will bless through you. And I want to really ponder, all people on the earth will be blessed through you. We are blessed because of Jesus. We are blessed. And it's talking, there was talking far reaching than what Abraham could imagine. He was believing for a child. And here is God talking about that people be blessed through his descendants, seeing far into future, into to Jesus. And even if we come further back, people were blessed because of Joseph, because they had, if that was, you know, the descendants, Joseph was the descendant. I'm coming further up from, instead of going too far down as Jesus, but even if you look at Joseph, there was a blessing because, you know, through the descendant, because it was like, wow, okay. So all this, it leads onto it all. And I just want to give you that an example. Now, the faith required to move, that initial move, get up and go, that push, that step, you could, let us look at Genesis 15. So, you know, if you're said, right, I want you to go to a country you do not know, that's it, go, I'm gonna bless you, they're thinking, okay. Now, if we look at Genesis 15, I'm going to go from verse 1. Afterward, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since I don't have a son, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no child, so one of my servants will have to be my heir. Okay? Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I am giving you. The Lord brought Abram outside beneath the night sky and told him, look up into the heavens and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. May the Lord declare us righteous because we believe. May the Lord declare righteous because we believe. Abram got a visual representation of a promise. He saw it visually and was able to capture it. So the faith required to get up and go to the land of promise is different for the faith that was cried. Three chapters. We don't know how many years that was. So I don't want us to judge ourselves harshly. Sometimes, you know, we hear the scripture, "Oh, ye of so little faith." And yes, we have little faith. You may have little faith. But I don't want you to judge yourself harshly, because the faith that is required for one season is different from the faith required for another. Now, what, you know, when you've applied faith and things have moved and changed and developed, or you can see some things happening, and you have a testimony, wow, God is really, you use that as a stepping stone to reassure and assure yourself, well, if God did that, if God helped with that, he's surely going to do this one. Now, I do like Abraham's honesty to the Lord. When last were you honest to the Lord? Say, "Lord, is this thing going to happen?" Because he will send forth, you know, as he said, he sent forth the word and it healed them. He will send forth his word. He will say something. You know, he will whisper his truth. Because I could tell you, the other one is whispering the lies. "Well, you know, you are old." You can imagine, that's why Abraham said, "Well, you know, what good are the blessings? Yes, I hear you're going to bless, but what my heart desires is this. What good are the blessings? So, you're going to bless me completely, and then it's going to go to my servant." And poured out his heart. Now, some might say, "Wow, that was a bit harsh, da, 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 da." But really poured out his heart. And that is excellent, because God was able to answer. So when you're shaking in faith, and when you're not sure, pour out your heart to the Lord, and he'll be able to whisper something that will encourage you, you know, something that you just hear, or his word, you read, the scripture jumps out. If you dream, you dream, and you just know, "God, you've spoken, you sent forth your word." Remember I said, he sent forth the word and he healed. So I really want us to really pour out, because sometimes we don't pour out. We keep it in and we try and work it out ourselves. And, you know, now he poured out his heart and the Lord was able to answer. Now Abraham and Sarai wrestled with that promise, to the point that Sarai, you know, decided, well, retranslated God's promise, you know, to make it happen with Hagar, and she soon realized it was not going to work. And sometimes we do that. And I've heard it said that maybe that's what even delayed it further. I don't know. I really don't know. But one thing I do know is that when we try to make something happen, we might end up making things worse. So we need to, and it's really hard to not try to interpret what God, and give him like a helping hand. It's really hard, but we need to learn to trust God that he has a way of working out. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Nobody could have imagined that crucifying Jesus was going to lead to our salvation. You know, in the world standard, that doesn't make sense. But God doesn't move according to world standard. And I want us to bear that in mind. Now, we're fast approaching the end of the program. And I've still got more to share, a lot more to share. But, and we're going to take this slowly. And because I really, really want us, if we have faith to believe, we'll have faith to believe for things that we really desire. We have faith to believe for a child, children. We'll gather the faith to believe to be married. We'll have the faith to believe to be restored. We'll have the faith to believe for healing. We'll have faith to believe for, you know, completion. We'll have faith to believe for so much because it has impact. And remember, it said about His glory to be revealed. Father, my God, in this season, we ask for You to infill us with Your faith, to believe You for what seems impossible. Fill us to overflowing with Your faith, that faith that moves mountains, that faith that does, that breaks, you know, things down, that builds things up, that faith that, you know, where Your name is glorified. Fill us. Let that be activated in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Those that are believing for children, fill them with the faith to believe, Father my God. Those that are believing to be married, fill them with the faith to believe. Those that are believing to complete courses, fill them with the faith to believe. Those that are feeling for breakthrough, fill them with the faith to believe, Lord. Move in Your power and Your might. Move, Lord. Move in Your awesome way. Move, Jesus. Those that are looking for a job, fill them with the faith to believe. Make a way where has appearance of no way. Open doors, close doors. Do it the way that You do it, Lord. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. And bye for now.
I have searched the world and found there is no one like You, God. You are Jesus. There is no other name like Jesus, Lamb of God.
Say all of my worship belongs.
All of my worship belongs to You.
Say I have searched the world and
found. I searched the world and found.
There's nobody.
There is no one like You, God.
There is no one.
There is no one like You.
resurrection and life.
Resurrection and life. Death has died in Jesus.
Hey, come on, let's raise it. Say word of the Father.
Word of the Father. Yahweh revealed in Jesus.
Hey.
One day.